Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of September 23rd. I'm John Gibson, back from a trip home, and with me in Cyber Tokyo is Jim Allen on a Sunday morning. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing fine. I'm enjoying the sunny weather here in the podcast Annex Studio B, beautiful downtown Koenji.
Wake up, man. Wake up. We're going to be talking about baseball. Wake up. Sound alive there.
I am awake. It's my brain that's not. No, I'm fine, and I hope you had a safe, a productive trip.
I had a productive trip, let's put it like that, and it was safe, and it was fun, and thanks again so much to Jason Koskri for filling in. And for the record, you know, I was home here in Tokyo in time to do the show. It's just that I didn't have time to watch any baseball games, and I also felt like I'd be too exhausted after 30 hours of traveling to do the show. So thank you guys for doing that. It was a good show.
I have to think that you underestimate your ability to get, you know, John's one of these guys. They used to say about some players, they could get out of bed at 3 a.m, pinch hit and get a line drive. And John could probably get out of bed at 3 a.m, wake up, do the podcast, and then say, okay, now time for sleep.
I don't know about that.
It would sound just fine because he likes his preparation, and sometimes he leans on it. You know, he's so used to doing it that he leans on it a lot, but he's pretty good unprepared as well. So,
well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. All right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about going back to sleep, though. If I get up to do a show and I get so excited about it, because I am excited about baseball, I don't think I'd be able to go back to sleep. But we'll find out one day, maybe.
I'm not going to hold you to that, I hope.
All right. On this week's show, we've got a rare perspective from a reserve player in Ernesto Mejia. We're going to look at the Giants winning the Central League pennant, the PL playoff race, the CL playoff race, discuss Randy Messenger's somewhat unexpected retirement, and hit some notes. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Whoa, I didn't realize we got so much to talk about today. Well, anyway, I went out to MetLife Dome or Cebu Dome or whatever you want to call it on Wednesday to talk to benched slugger Ernesto Mejia. And this is kind of a first, I think, for this show because we hardly talk to a proven import who essentially has taken that role of the old Japanese pinch hitter, fade out star player role that we see a lot of Japanese players do in Japan. Now, I'm not saying that Ernesto has faded out. He's just been benched. I mean, let's call it what it is. They have a player who was up and coming in Hotaka Yamakawa, who they wanted to get some at-bats, and then he blossomed last year. So essentially, with Takaya Nakamura, Okawari-kun healthy and productive, that just kind of pushed Ernesto to the bench, where he has been firmly planted. But as he showed on Friday when he came off the bench in his 70th game this season and hit a pinch hit, two-run sayonara home run and a 5-3 win over Rakuten, that he can play. You know, it's, and I thought that home run was nothing short of miraculous, but he can play. And he turns 34 in December, and he's hit 6 home runs this season, and 3 of them have come off whom, do you think?
You tell me.
That's right. Rakuten closer Yuki Matsui.
Oh, okay. Hence the hero interview question about Yuki Matsui. Okay, I thought it was just referring to that game.
No, I didn't see him. I thought they brought out Katsunori Hirai, and that was it. But maybe I should have kept.
You had to hang on for.
Because I'm thinking, why are they bringing out this guy when we all know the hero of this game, the biggest one, I should say, because they all count the same.
Well, because they were probably thinking, let's see now, Hirai just tied the franchise or set the franchise records for games in a season.
And PL record, yeah.
PL record as well, was it? Okay.
Yes.
And he's probably going to give up 3 runs tomorrow. So let's get him on the show today before he's cooked.
Right, there you go. There you go. So now I did talk to a Yomiuri beat writer about Ernesto, and she basically said that because of his massive salary, that and the fact that he would, and I don't think he said it in the interview, but he tore up farm pitching when he was down there, so there's no use to have him there. He's just the front office wants him on the top team, regardless of if he's playing or not. So he adds a bat, definitely, but they don't want him on the farm, according to the beat writer. Whatever he does, I think, in terms of having a good day or a bad day, he's not going to earn more or less time on the field. He just is what he is with the Lions. I think, you know, they're set, and he's a good backup plan B in case somebody gets injured, and that's important going down, you know, into the playoffs when, you know, all of a sudden you don't have the ability to bring up or bring down or change rosters or anything. He's right there, and, well, I guess you can change rosters, right? You can manipulate the roster.
You can, but you can't add any. But you can't add somebody who wasn't on the roster after.
It's like complicated. MLB. Yeah.
Exactly. They have two deadlines: the end of July and the end of September.
Right.
Okay. End of September, you can't sign a waiver player. The end of July, you can't sign anybody fresh on the roster.
Right. So anyway, Ernesto, I believe he can play. He believes he can play, but I don't think he wanted to dive too deeply into the contract talk and switching team talk and keep the focus on staying ready in case he ends up in a game, which he did on Friday. But let's take a listen to the Ernesto Mejia story. We are here with Ernesto Mejia of the Lions. Now, thank you for joining us, as always. Always appreciate it. Love talking to you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, what do you guys... As the Lions team, when you guys are down by three runs or you're leading by three runs, what goes through your mind? What are you guys thinking?
Everybody knows we are a hitting team, so it's just very dangerous, you know. And the games are by one run, two run game, it's very difficult to beat us. And the other teams know that they have to score at least five runs, you know, ahead of us to beat us. So I think the secret in this team is that we never give up. We're always fighting. We know we can do it because we've done it before. So everybody has the patience and the confidence that it's going to happen. And like I said, you know, the last 20, 25 games we've been winning a lot of games, and that's what put us in a good spot right now at the end of the year.
I agree. Now, I think if your team wins the Pacific League pennant, then you got a choice of maybe three players to get the MVP, Takeya Nakamura, Tomoya Mori, or Otaka Yamakawa. So how do you view their production this year, those three guys?
Oh, those three guys are being the key, you know, for this team. And, they all three deserve an MVP award. They're all having great numbers and a great year. You know, my personal opinion, I like Mori Tomoya. You know, he's catching, top position, calling games, which involve more, you know, in pitching and, you know, defense and offenses. So he's leading the league in average. So
yeah,
it's a pretty impressive year having him. Yeah.
And you guys have some hidden MVPs. You got Sosuke Genda at shortstop. He's having a really good season. You got Tonosaki, who's having a good season. You got Kaneko, who's having a good season. There's other guys who are like MVPs, including Kuriyama off the bench and yourself. I mean, you guys, it just seems like if there's a pitcher out there who can sleep before he faces the Lions, I don't know who he is. So what do you think about those guys as well?
It's I don't want to be a pitcher facing the Lions. That's all I can tell you. It's very dangerous lineup, you know. So yeah,
I look at the way you started. You started, like, you know, up and down, and then I think at the All-Star break you were near third or fourth place or something like that. But everybody, all the teams are really tight together, and every game has been tight.
This has been a great month for us. We've been winning a lot of games.
Yeah, this month for sure.
Yeah, it's just the very last 10, 15, 20 games.
Yeah.
Good, so it's awesome, you know. I think we have like 7 games left.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I see that. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. It's just been a different season. Like, last year was, you know, so different. And I mean, every year is different, but this just seems like I've never seen a team like this and a season like this, and it's just new for me. Have you ever seen a team like this? Or
what do you mean?
Well, you have the pitchers who like struggled or had a difficult time, but the hitters have been, you know, just hitting. You guys have been hitting and scoring runs, and then, like I said, you know, you started out, you know, down in the standings, and then moved up, and then down again, and now back up to the top. It's just
I think not just the Lions. I think the whole Pacific League has been like that. You know, pretty much a whole year. You know, fighters were first place at one point of the year, and then second place for a long time, point of the year. They're down, and Chiba was like fourth place, and Audix, and now they're kind of close from third place. So it's just, everything's really close fighting, you know. I think that what we're helping us is that we're having a really good end of the year, really good end of last 20-25 games. We've been winning a lot of games, and yeah, like you say, you know, pitching struggling, but both hitters are doing the job. And we've been winning the games we're fighting.
And the entire team. Now, what about Zach Neal? He's a contact pitcher, and he's having really good success, especially the second half here. Yeah. What have you seen from him this season?
Yeah, you know, he's improving himself, you know, in this league. He know he can do it, and he's been proving that. And, yeah, like you say, he's a, you know, a guy that dominates hitters, you know, not striking out too many, but, you know, giving up a lot of ground balls and fly balls, you know, help him out himself with double plays, you know, ground ball for double plays and all that thing, you know. It's been a great year for him, you know. I think the last 10 or 11 starts have been quality starts, which is great, you know, and awesome, you know. He did it in the perfect timing for the team, too.
Yeah, you know, he's putting himself in some really, in terms of, you know, getting respect, but I'm not sure that he's going to get the Sawamura Award even if he leads the league in wins because of his, you know, the innings pitched. And, you know, you had to get shutouts and all those things, but he's winning a lot of games, so that's very impressive. Now, obviously last year you guys didn't win in the Climax Series. The manager was really emotional. How's this team different this time?
I think the experience, you know, of course, you know, we deal with a lot of more games, and then the guys that were that experience, by the time now they have more experience, and that's definitely going to help us out for the Climax Series. And last year we ended up, you know, almost there, and we lost in the Climax Series with SoftBank. So this year I think we're going to fight to beat them.
Okay. All right, now, how has this season been for you? You've been, you played or appeared in 69 games, and it's been like a different kind of season for you. How has it been?
You know, I'm just doing whatever I can do, you know, when I get the opportunities. You know, I'm pinch hitting most of the time, and, you know, try to do my best, you know, of course, to bring the runs in. Because when I pinch hit, normally I pinch hit in a tough situation, you know, to bring runs in, but winning by one or losing by one or tie game at the end of the game. So, not this kind of season, obviously, I would like to have, but I'm hanging in there, you know, just fighting every day, just come to the stadium just positive and working hard, and hopefully, you know, get another chance.
Yep, I've seen you. You know, I've been here many times in the season, and I always see you, and you're working hard, and I know you stay ready. So how do you feel physically at the moment right now?
Oh, I feel good, you know. I feel great, you know. Not tired at all or anything like that. You know, feel really good.
Now, what's up for you next season?
Oh, I don't know, nothing yet, you know. I'm not really sure what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure if any chances. Hopefully, I can, if I have a chance to stay in Japan with any other team. But I think it's too early right now to think about that, you know, right now. And we just worry about the team and, you know, getting ready to win everything.
All right. Well, good luck, man. Good luck in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to win that pennant. And good luck when you get to the postseason, man.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Thanks again, Ernesto. Always, always a pleasure talking to you. So what did you think about this? Because I thought this was kind of unique in that we don't usually get a chance to talk to a guy who sticks around on for the entire season as a bench player and is an import.
Well, it doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't happen for, I think, all the reasons that you spoke of before you guys talked, which is A, the salary, and B, the fact that you can only have, there's a limited number of foreign players you can have on the team. Having said that, the Lions have a bunch of pitchers, and they have Ernesto Mejia.
Mm-hmm.
So the roster size is irrelevant. There's no hitter. I mean, they could do a Nippon Ham Fighters and just get rid of all the foreign, you know, and, you know, not go without a foreign hitter. But we saw where that has gotten the Fighters this year.
Right.
So it's interesting. Now, he's really a bad bench player. I mean, he hit a home run the other day, but he's very unproductive coming off the bench. And he basically needs to play. I don't think the salary is an issue. I don't know what kind of money somebody would offer him next year. We talked about this at great length last year, whether somebody would take that salary, you know, to, like, specifically the Hanshin Tigers. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. He's an excellent, you know, he's a good team player. He's almost like one of these guys that major league managers won't expect to get when they sign a Japanese player.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's maybe not, doesn't give them the numbers that they would want in a new player. You know, this guy is going to bring this to the team. But what he does is he's a good presence on the team. He keeps everybody loose. He helps out his teammates. You know, that kind of thing. You know, he's good in the clubhouse. He has those things. And there are teams in Japan that say, yeah, well, we don't care if he's good in the clubhouse as if he's a foreign player.
Right.
You know, he's got to hit home runs or, you know, he's got to hit a home runs or go play for somebody else.
Right.
So it is going to be interesting. He turns 34 in December, and it's going to be curious to see. He said he doesn't know. I'm sure that is the case. I hope if he wants to be here, that there is a team that can suit him. Unfortunately, he's basically a first baseman, DH guy, and it's not. He needs to play to be productive, and his on-base percentage is always going to be upper limit of just above average. So you have to be, you know, you have to be thinking about that. If that's a need you have, if you're a team that has zero power and you don't have a guy playing first base, he would probably stick around in Japan for a very reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, I was thinking about some teams. I was thinking that maybe the Marines could use him next year if they decide to give up on I thought about Hiroshima, the Carp, maybe at first base, depending on what they decide to do with Xavier Batista. I thought about a few other teams, but not seriously. Maybe the Fighters, if they decide they want to move Sho Nakata back to the outfield. So I think he has a place here if he wants to stay in Japan, and definitely he has some pop still and can play. And as a bench player, he hasn't been great. He's hitting, I think, now just because of the home run the other night, .215 on the season, but doesn't really get into a lot of games, doesn't have a lot of at-bats.
He's lost basically about half his offense off the bench. So
yeah. What about the interview stuck with you?
Well, I often, as I get to Cebu, MetLife, the ballpark formerly known as Prince, and and talk to the Lions guys, I always catch up with Ernesto, and we have spoken about this in the past. And it's pretty much, it was nothing new for me, because he's just always very positive and always trying to be the positive guy in the room. You know, it's like, he's one of these guys, like a movie I saw where the guy says, doesn't that worry you that they want to put you in the electric chair? And he always says, would it help if I worried? and Ernesto's kind of like that. I mean, he's like going, you know, it's out of my hands.
Right.
So he's very calm, and it's great to have people like that, because baseball can be, on a daily basis, can be very distressing and annoying for things that are 100% out of your control. So it's always good to have somebody on the team.
Well, it's easier also to swallow. Yeah, it's easier also to swallow that pill when the team is having success.
True enough.
Yeah, I could see this, you know, being a whole different story if they were in the Fighters' position or the Oryx Buffalo's position. But of course, no team is like the Buffaloes, so I think they're safe in that respect.
Yeah, I think with the age, it's hard. Japan is very, well, I don't know if it's Japan or it's baseball that's hung up on ages, but people think they know what to expect from what other people have done. And I got a lecture. I was lectured on this by Kyuji Fujikawa.
You tell him, Fuji-Q.
And he's like going, he said, look, people look what other people did in the past when they were this age and that age, and they did this, and they say, you're done.
Yeah. So, a lot of people say everybody's different, but they actually don't believe it a lot of times, or they don't apply it. But they say it.
Well, they grab it.
It's difficult.
Well, they grab at the information they have available to them.
Whatever's
which,
easy.
You know, it's things that can fit on a spreadsheet and so on.
Right.
And so, you know, it's hard to see, but it is hard to see him overcoming that. I do love him as an individual. He's just a wonderful guy, and as I said, he's a good teammate. But things he said, I think, were interesting. I thought his introspection on who are the MVPs and was very interesting.
You stole mine. Yeah. Yeah,
I know. Don't you hate that?
Well, yeah.
I mean, look at it this way. At least it wasn't me.
What, you weren't the MVP?
No, but I wasn't the one, like, spouting off about something you were about to say. Because it suddenly occurred to me, and John's been working on it and figuring on it and thinking on it for like a week, and it occurred to me, so, and I thought, well, you know, maybe this will happen, and he's going like, no!
I've been trying to extract your comment about his comments for 10 minutes here, and now you come up with mine. But yeah, I thought for him to say something that you have often said, which is a guy who plays catcher and has so much impact on every pitch, to be as productive as Tomoyo Mori has been. And what is he going to become, just the third? He would be the fourth catcher to win a batting title in MPB history. So if he does that, along with doing all the things that Ernesto says he's doing as catcher, calling pitches, working a lot of games behind the plate, becoming a really useful catcher, I don't see how you can make an argument for anybody else for MVP. Although...
We were talking about that on the internet, on Twitter the other day. Steve Love Marines had Love Marines was we were basically the same point. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble with the Lions Vigilante Society, but
who cares? I told you.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But basically, I know these are the people who hate it when I point out that, like, you know, all his defensive, I point out things that look like I'm complaining about his defense. The fact that, you know, they lead the league in wild pitches and they have so many more run scoring wild pitches. And
talk
stuff,
about the Lions.
Exactly. Is not an indication of, I think he's a bad player, which is, I think, their assumption. I'm ragging on Tomoyo Mori because, in fact, love him and I think he's a great guy. But I think the point is this. I have never seen any evidence, although last year there was like some evidence that, okay, last year he was able to throw out a stolen base, base dealers at a high rate.
Mm-hmm.
And he was better than his colleagues at blocking pitches. But this year, neither of those has been true. I haven't seen any consistent evidence that he's an average defensive catcher. And by average, I mean compared to other professional catchers on the first team in Japan.
Gotcha.
Who play more or less every day, other than the other regulars. Okay, I don't think he's an average catcher. I don't think he's as good as average. But having said that, that's sort of like saying, oh, I don't know. That's like saying he's a below average NFL starting wide receiver.
Right, he's still an NFL wide receiver.
Exactly. Yeah. It sets him above all the people who can't reach that very high bar.
Many now, of whom are on the sofa watching him play. So yeah, I agree
yeah,
with you.
So he has value because he can catch every day. He doesn't have extra, I don't think he gives you any extra value as a catcher yet. I believe he will in his future because that tends to be the case with catchers, that they often start out as hitters and end up as defensive whizzes.
Okay. All right.
But having said that, his offense is amazing. Although I wish he would, you know, of course, and he'll get votes for MVP because if he wins a batting title, people will say, "Wow, a batting title! Wow, he must be the best hitter in Japan."
Right. In Japan. So the other thing that stuck with me was that approach that Ernesto said early on in the interview where he said, well, I think if we score five runs or if we have a five-run lead, that, that's basically enough to win the game because other teams can't really, they know there's too much pressure. And I like what he said about the fact that, look, if we're down by a few runs or whatever it is that we're down by, we know we can come back because we've done it before. And I thought, just because you've done it before doesn't mean you can do it again. But the thing is, a lot of times they just don't, it just makes them or helps them or facilitates the relaxation kind of feeling instead of the panic mode that sometimes hitters get into and start flailing away at anything close. So we've got to move on because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But those are two things that stuck with me. Let's talk about the Lions now. They lost on Saturday night, and that leaves them 12-5 in September. And I just wanted to bring this up because I thought it was interesting. There's another team out there that is in MPB that's 12-5 in September through Saturday's games, and that's the Chunichi Dragons, who are still not dead. But we're talking about the Lions here.
Okay. We're going to talk about the team that aren't dead and the team that are...
I'm just saying, no, they both have 12-5 records in September. I thought that was interesting because the Lions are on the verge of clinching, whereas the Dragons are still alive for a playoff spot, but not likely to get one. But anyway, as the Lions sit on the verge of clinching a second consecutive PL title, I sit here stunned and in awe. And I'm thinking, the reason is because I'm thinking that this formula, a lot of times you see copycat behavior with championship teams. I don't think the formula for winning and securing a consecutive PL titles can be copycatted, if that's a word.
Not the Lions one. No, let's give up six runs a game and just beat other people silly. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, we're going to club people in the head and we're not going to worry about... I mean, we're talking about in Hatsuhiko Tsuji, who's a defensive guy as a player, and he basically is saying, you know what? I mean, he was a stalwart defensively, right? And I think he's thinking, okay, let's just minimize the mistakes. Forget about range and great defensive plays and web gems and all that stuff. Let's just minimize the mistakes while we're on the defensive side, and then let's beat people over the head with our bats. And I'm thinking copycat possibility teams. Maybe the Swallows at some point could copy that pattern. Maybe the Bay Stars. I don't think there's a lot of teams that could just say, well, okay.
Now, the Swallows are the team that tried to copy it, and they got the knockoff. They got the knockoff drug that somebody was, some guy was selling out of the trunk of their car. They got in Tijuana.
Dude, it's a van. It's not a car. It's a van. And, it's always
and,
a van.
And they're going like, hey, how, this was supposed to give me five hands. What's this thing coming out of my ear?
Hashtag high heat.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at the, obviously they can hit. Obviously they can, they've got important positions. I think Sosuke Gendo, which I mentioned in the interview, a guy I mentioned in the interview, is a great, and I still think he's one of the better shortstops, regardless of what UZR and all the other things tell us. I think he's one of the better shortstops in the Pacific League, if not Japan. And then, you know, I talk to a Lions announcer I know on Wednesday, and he just shook his head. He said, they don't pitch all that well. They don't play defense all that well, but you cannot keep them all down. Somebody's going to get a hit. Somebody's going to hit a home run. Someone's going to do something. And not enough, I think, can be said about, I'm going to start calling him the American Express, even though he doesn't pitch that hard, and that's Zach Neale. And him, you know, breaking the club record for consecutive wins by a foreign pitcher, breaking the, what is it,
Kuo Tai Yuan.
The Orient Express, or Orient Express, mm-hmm. or Orient
Express? Orient Express.
The Orient Express, okay, so we'll call Zach American Express. And he broke that record the other night, winning his 10th.
He's perfect for the American Express because, you know, they'll show his face and people won't know who he is.
So you better not leave home without him.
Exactly.
At least the Lions better not. They don't have to leave home without
He's
him.
Got that one for sure.
But, and then, you know, they've got, so it's not like they don't pitch at all. He has done well. He's going to get the opener in the Climax Series whenever they start that, especially if they win, and he's pitched really well at home. And, you know, we talked about Katsunori Hirai breaking the PL record for appearances in a season, and that happened on Saturday. He pitched in game number 79, and that was not a great moment for him. It was a moment for him to forget. He was greeted, Kazuya Fujita of Rakuten greeted him with a score-tying homer, and then the Eagles rallied to score five runs that were charged to him, and Rakuten put up a six spot to win that game last night, 6-1. So, I mean, I don't know if I wonder if that's a sign of things to come now, because I kept saying that his arm was going to fall off, but it really hasn't, and he still has been making, you know, quality pitches and getting guys out. So I look at this Lions team, I think it's just what Ernesto said. They're experienced now, and they went through last season, and they're going to really be hard to stop. And as long as they get that defense where they're not making mistakes, you know, they might not get to every ball that maybe they could get to, but as long as they don't make errors or make mental mistakes out there with the ball on defense, I think they're going to be tough to beat.
Well, the thing that has really propelled them, I think it really powered their magic number hunt with these three, the starting pitching, oddly enough, which has really been, you know,
maligned.
Maligned, misaligned, maligned, forgotten, trash, dumped, spat on, cursed at, you name it, it's happened. So but the Lions, basically, I mean, our formula has been, you know, we've criticized pretty much every aspect of their pitching staff from the word go, but Neil has been, he's been consistent and lucky. Mm-hmm. In the games when he was, you know, he's 11-1. In the games when he was bad, they scored a bunch of runs.
Mm-hmm.
But
Check that. They score a bunch of runs all the time. So I mean,
no, they don't.
No, I mean,
no, they have been. They have been shut out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, in general, yes. Yeah. But as we said, life ain't in general. It's, you know, it's every day is different.
Right. Well, they put up their typical run scoring amount when he was pitching. Yes.
Right. But they scored plenty in the games when he was doing poorly, and he only lost the second decision he had this season. So he's been more, and the thing is, he's been more and more consistent as the season's gone on. And then the other guys, and then having him there, once a week, and then the other guys happen to be on. And this week, and the surprise about Katsunori Hirai giving up the three runs is
he gave up five. He was charged with five.
Excuse me, giving up five. The thing with Katsunori Hirai giving up five runs in a third of an inning was on Thursday, Neil threw eight innings of a shutout. And then on Friday, Wataru Matsumoto threw six and a third shutout innings, and the Lions pitched their second straight shutout for the first time in a little more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking, when I saw that, I was looking for when's the last time they threw three straight shutouts. I could not find it. my guess, it's probably sometime back in the early 90s or late 80s when they had Kimiyasu Kudo and Hisanobu Watanabe and the aforementioned Kuo Taiyuan pitching in their rotation, and they probably could have managed that at one point or another. But they didn't get a shutout, but Tatsuya Imai threw seven scoreless innings, and that was pretty amazing. That's also something I couldn't find. Three very impressive starts in a row for a team basically that, you know, it's a little bit like something from the Marvel Cinematic Universe where you see a character and you go, oh, yeah, what's your specialty? And bam.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they've got all the superheroes have weaknesses. And then they fix it. You know, they come up with a plot device. And this is sort of the Lions' plot device. Oh, and here's the pitching you've been missing all year.
Yeah.
So I don't think people seeing that. Now, of course, the other thing that we've seen all year, and John basically predicted that Katsunori Hirai's arm would fall off before the end of the season. And so we may, that may still come to pass. And if it does, yeah, they're going to be in trouble. But to get three starts like that is an awful warning sign for
anybody.
For the other postseason bound teams if they know who they are.
Right. All right, let's make a seamless transition and talk about the Central League. And the Giants wrapped up on Saturday night their 37th Central League title. Unbelievable, so many titles. They did it with a 3-2 victory over the Yokohama Bay Stars at Yokohama in 10 innings. And, you know, if you're the Yokohama Bay Stars, and I had been exchanging messages with Michael Westbay off and on this past week, and with two outs in the ninth inning and no runners on, you would expect to win that game, even in a one-run game. And for Yasuaki Yamasaki, who ended up walking two in the ninth, en route to blowing the save, but he got out of the inning, and they went to the 10th inning and had a chance to, you know, they couldn't do anything on offense, and then they end up losing the game to a guy, and it's very typical of the Giants this season. Daiki Masuda gets the game-winning hit, a ground ball single or a bounce through the middle.
A ground ball single that basically had no business getting through the infield, but, you know, that happens.
It happens, yep, it happens. And
but it wouldn't have happened if
you throw strikes to the batters you're supposed to throw strikes to.
And if Yasuaki Yamasaki doesn't lose his location and command when he's got two outs and nobody on.
Hey, you know what? I still, my philosophy is, even if you lose velocity and command and all that stuff, throw a strike and make the kid, especially these guys, earn their way onto the bases before you have to actually face a quality hitter. And he didn't do that. So that ended up costing him. And I mean, you know, there were a lot of things in this game last night, including Yasutaka Tobashira had a pass ball that allowed a run in because Edwin Escobar, I tweeted out, he was the Escobarier last night. He was a barrier for the Giants, but a pitch got away from Tobashira for a pass ball that allowed a run in, and then the second run came in because he couldn't field the throw from the outfield and then tag a runner who... I mean, he was going to be able to tag out easily had he just made the catch.
But well, the throw was offline, and he had to go up and get it, and he missed it. It was a catchable ball.
Exactly, it happened that way. So
you know,
yeah, it was just unfortunate. So it wasn't it just was, Yamasaki blowing the
you know, no, it was not, and it was also the you know Jose Lopez, you know, smoking a ball with two outs that's caught for the third out instead of being an RBI double in the eighth inning. And you know, the Giants, however, have had to deal with this stuff from the BayStars side pretty much all year. They've had that kind of season. There's no doubt in my mind that they're the best team in the Central League this year. They've got the most tools, the most resources. They got a manager who knows what to do. It didn't come together for them an annoying number of times. Sure, their bullpen has been incredibly inconsistent. Sure, their best starting pitcher has been incredibly inconsistent and hurt and injured. Right. So all they built this amazing team and it misfired so often that it put the pennant in doubt. And to have them win a game that they, you know, okay, they didn't really deserve to win the game. Fine, but they did. Chew on it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know there's a big anti-Yomiuri Giants faction out there, and you had picked the Giants to win. I don't know if you remember, mm-hmm. but
I know. No, I do remember that. Okay, and so, I even said I expected them to win a very close race because Tatsunori Hara was going to bunt until people's skulls hurt.
Hashtag high heat.
I didn't say that on the show.
Oh, okay. And then also Jason Koskri picked the Giants, and so did I. I picked the Giants. And on that show, the only guy who didn't pick the Giants was Michael Westbay, who had them finishing fourth. But I think you look at, you know, the way Hayato Sakamoto, and there was a really interesting special on him last night on the news that showed that he, you know, came into the season, he changed his swing, he wanted to get more elevation, what's new. So he started to change his swing and his stances. He's got four stances where he does, you know, a non-step stance, a toe tap, and then a big leg kick and a medium-sized leg kick. So he's got all these different approaches up there to get timing.
Yeah, it's like Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
And we got John Travolta.
Yeah. And you look at Hara, I thought the funny quote from him during the manager's, the hero interview for
the U Show interview, the championship interview.
Right,
yeah.
And he said, yeah, well, you know, as I've been aging, my tear ducts have just been getting weaker and weaker. So I thought that was funny because he just cried. He just balled out in a different way of bawling out. So
I like that. Of course, half the interview was, you know, we hung in there, and you know, he didn't say, well, we were on a mission since last fall, blah blah blah, which is everybody reads. I mean, I swear, oh, we've done it three times before, but nobody thought we could do it again. I'm sure manager Ogata had practiced that speech. But the one that I liked was, so Hara came back from 3 years after quitting the Giants for a second time. He came back. They asked him to come back and manage. And he said, I told people that I was full of passion. I was still full of passion for the game. But inside, I had my doubts.
Wow. Yeah.
And then he said, well, let me tell you, the passion's back.
Yeah, I think, and you could see that. And I think he did such a good job of what you talked about and what you brought to light, I guess, in the early portions of the season or in the off season, when you talked about the fact that he has given young players a chance through the years and how he's not afraid to put, especially when he had second base wide open this season, he's not afraid to put guys out there who are unproven to.
I know, that's like a red flag in front of a bull, but
just wave that thing, like, makes them go nuts, right?
I know, it makes them think, damn, I wonder if the Chunichi Dragons have a second baseman on their farm team who can't hit that I can use.
But he has used all these young players. He even had Kota Nakagawa saving game for him at some point. So, I mean, they've gone through a lot, and they, you know, here it is. The winner of this game was Kang Ohtake, the former carp pitcher who was banished to basically the farm, and finally has pitched his way back into, you know,
as a reliever, which is a new role for him, right, because right, he was the starting relief, pitcher for his whole
career. Long relief ace. So I mean, here's a guy who's really worked. So I mean, it's really when he talks about a team effort and the fact that they've had to use so many guys and get through this, you know, excruciating season. I actually think it wasn't that bad. It just, you know, it just seems like it now. But I had them winning all the way, buddy.
Well, it was. I mean, it was bad in considering they, you know, they just scored. They proved they could score runs. They proved they could keep runs off the board. But they just had an annoying time doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of things struck me, but I'll stick with, I think the guy we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Ruby De La Rosa,
yes,
was a huge pickup for them, because here's a guy, I mean, when I asked him, he said, like, yeah, stuff happens in baseball, get over it.
Baseball is crazy.
Baseball is crazy, and he's like going, it doesn't bother him. It's you know, it's the, you know, he was the epitome of the Giants' bullpen. Bad times, so what? You know, it's like, okay, I'm out here again. I'm still good. I'm still positive. Guys are going to try to foul off balls. So what? I'll stick it in their ear.
Right,
whatever.
Right, right. So, yeah, I thought, you know, that was, I thought about him when I saw the celebrations and the fact that he closed it out throwing some funky floater pitch, you know, that broke away from whoever it was. He struck out to end the game. But, yeah, it's really been a fun week. It was a fun race, and I think Wednesday really was a great night for baseball fans. It had one of the most shocking comebacks that I've never seen, because I actually checked out of the DeNA Hiroshima Carp game when I saw that it was 7-0. I had been listening on the radio to portions of it, and I'm like, 7-0, I'm out. And you know, I was listening on the radio, and one of the announcers says, oh, the Bay Stars have a 3-run homer by Neftali Soto. They're, you know, it's 7-3. And then you hear somebody else gets on base and blah, blah, blah. And the bases are loaded. And I was looking on the Sports Navi app, and so I saw the bases were loaded. So I tune in for the Grand Slam by Takayuki Kajitani, and that was awesome. And I just felt like Yokohama Stadium was going to break or explode. And so, but then they give up the eighth run, and they're trailing again. And then they scored to tie things up, and they win it with Kajitani, a walk off by Soto again. Yeah, so just an awesome night.
Yeah,
for baseball.
And it was, and the Giants. Somebody said something really dumb on MLB radio, which is, I think,
par for the course.
People, yeah, I think people tune in to hear that stuff. And it was Eduardo Perez, who's not a dumb person, but basically a veteran pitcher was asked to close a game for the first, and he said like this, you bring in a guy for the first time in his life to close out a game, and I'll tell you why closers are valuable, because they don't blow saves, and this guy blew up. You think anybody can do it? No, they can't. This is proof. Well, the operative word is there, the first time. You go through things and you learn. No, you know, Mariano Rivera, a guy who I think many people don't remember, you know, like, you know, and but I do, and he was a failed starter, you know, and he was not a great closer the first day he went to the mound. You know, that's something that happens later, and this is the thing. But the point I wanted to make after, you know, the digression is the fact that the thing about being a closer is like, is that you get used to being in that situation. You get used to the fact that if I lose today, if I throw a bad pitch today and a bad pitch tomorrow, my dog will still love me, my kids will still love me, my family and my teammates will still support me. You know,
just
throw the pitch.
I don't know about that dog.
Okay, cat guy. Okay, but the point being that the world goes on,
right.
The sun still sets, it rises in the morning, things go on. You learn that through experience, and you learn to, you know, just focus on the things you can do. And after blowing that, you know, after the Bay Stars blew that the Bay Stars came back, after the Bay Stars came back from that game, next day they're playing the Giants, and the Giants have had a lot of games like this. This is why the pennant was not close, because they've had a lot of games they easily should have won, and they slipped away. Mm-hmm. Okay, here they are, Neftali Soto, 42 home runs, bases loaded, two outs, nobody on, and suddenly it's two outs, bases loaded, and you know, the guy is up who hit two home runs the night before, and okay, let's just strike him out on a 3-2 pitch. I think it was a 3-2 pitch out of the zone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like really gutsy stuff. I mean, and that's what it requires to, and all this whole long digression is just say, you know, it just requires the fact that trust in your stuff, trust in the fact that you can do the job, even when the media tells you, your opponents tell you, your dog tells you, you're washed up.
Right.
Go out and do it, and you'll be fine.
Yep. So, we'll get into what we think about the climax and all that stuff in the next show. But we'll move along to the Pacific League now. Obviously, we think the Lions are going to wrap this up at some point fairly soon. They have a magic number of three as we speak today, and that's Sunday morning again. So, but I thought the Rakuten Eagles, I'm not sure that the expectations were that high for them coming into the season, but they still have a really good chance, probably a favored chance, to get into the playoffs. But it's the SoftBank Hawks that I wanted to concentrate on. And I just, you know, for years we've said, and I think that the Giants have taken some notes from the Hawks, and they built their team in their likeness, so to speak. But because you just need to have good replacements when guys go down. And we've been saying for years that guys could go down, they could lose most of their top team and still beat teams. And while they have a winning record, that hasn't been the case this year. And I think it's a combination of things. I think we've got some age and attrition from some of the veteran players. But we also have a situation where they played a lot of games of importance over the past, I don't know, 5-6 years. And those are starting to add up, too. And I think, you know, you look at the guys who are broken down, the Yuki Yanagitas, we have Dennis Sarfate, who didn't pitch at all really this season. Alfredo Despaña, he has been on and off the top team roster. Seiichi Uchikawa, really important core guys like that. I think
Kenta Imamiya, Akira
the list
Nakamura
goes on. Yeah,
it does indeed go on.
It does. And so those guys have tried to, I mean, you've got guys like Yuris Bell, Graciel, who haven't been able to shoulder the load, and you've got pitching veterans again, Tsuyoshi Wada, just not able to get out there and be effective and be productive the entire season. So the Kodai Sen guys have been out there, but even he has spent some time on the sidelines. Yuito Mori, who is the replacement closer, he has had this, had his time
missed,
out of service.
He missed a month, and then he saved his 34th game yesterday.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no. I'm just saying.
But not yesterday. The day before.
Yeah. Not that they're not effective. Just not right. That just not available. And
well.
And it just it just. I mean, this is what we've talked about. Well, their secondary guys could beat you, and so we've seen it this year where they just haven't been able to beat them. All the teams consistently. It's just been inconsistent. That's all. It's not that they're not capable. I totally expect them to play very well in the playoffs. It's just been a really tough season in that respect for them. And the playoffs are a whole different animal, so I expect to see not better play, but I expect to see more consistent play from those guys, especially when you mix in some rest and some time off before the playoffs start.
Well, the other thing is the Hawks have been – I think in this pennant race, the Hawks have been taking a kind of long view. Although Kodai Senga has started a couple, he's been starting a lot on 5 days rest. Starting a lot, he's been starting some on 5 days rest. And more bullpen days in which they basically go out and get their butts kicked. Yeah. And willingness to do that. I mean, this is something which this is a new thing in Japan. The idea that there's a long view to the season.
I think Alex Ramirez has helped bring that on, yeah.
And the point being that, okay, the pennant race is not going to be decided whether we win or lose this game. It's going to be decided how many games of the next 10 we win, or the next 20 we win. So if a bullpen day gives us a 20% chance of winning that day and a 20% more chance of winning the next 60 games, let's take it. Mm-hmm. And so the Hawks have been doing these. They haven't won many of them, but they're trying things that are different, which is not a kind of a SoftBank way of doing things. But again, I'll tell you two things that struck me this past week. And one is that Rick Vandenhert came back and he didn't get hurt.
Right. Yeah.
So he's now 2-0. He pitched when he made his season debut in June. He pitched really, really well for three innings, and then he pitched okay for a couple innings, and then he was on the farm team the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's come back, and as far as I know, he's still on the first team roster. He was solid. I did not see the game, but his numbers were solid, so those are two different things.
I saw some. I listened to some. He was back to being Rick Vanden Hercules. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good if you have a stable needing cleaning out. And the other one is that the Hawks farm team won the Western League pennant for the first time in 3 years. And now that amazes me because the farm team has basically been playing in the Pacific League this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for them to come back and beat the Hiroshima Carp, who are now pretty much a Western League powerhouse, tells me that there are more bullets in that magazine.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I totally expect them to be back to something. I mean, we all picked the Hawks to win the Pacific League in our prediction show. That includes Claudio and Zach Ikuma. I think I was the only one who had the Lions finishing out of the playoffs. I had them finishing fourth, but Claudio had them second. Zach had him third, and you had him third. So this is just a surprise for everyone, but these things happen, and I think that we're just going to see more of what the Giants have done with the Hawks. I think they're going to get rid of some of the older players and let some of the younger players stay out there longer, and we'll see more of them next season. But this season's not over, and the playoffs are coming, and we'll see how they do there. Let's move along in the show, make a seamless transition, and talk about, like I said in the opening, a sort of unexpected retirement. But Hanshin Tigers ace Randy Messenger called it quits. And I don't know if you got to see his presser.
I saw quite a bit of it thanks to some of our Tigers bloggers who posted the video.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I did get to see some, and it just sounded like he thought, well, you know, I can still function as a pitcher, but my body is just not allowing me to do so. He's 38. He has 98 career wins. I would have liked to have seen him go on and try to get to at least 100, but, you know, it's not about numbers, and these guys tell us that a lot, and you know, I guess sometimes you have to believe it, especially in this case where he's so close, you would think, well, you know, he could stick around and pitch in a couple games in relief and maybe, you know, get to 100 wins or something. But it's not about the numbers, and he's done. And I was just kind of, you know, I was saddened by the loss. But then you just turn around and when he came to Hanshin, what was it, almost 10 years ago?
2010.
And you know, I thought, well, they didn't. I remember him being used out of the bullpen. I remember him being used as a starter. And, you know, you just, the videos I saw, one, there was somebody who posted a really nice montage of his career. And he just looked so different, just young kid when he came. And it's, you know, 10 years ago. And he's come so far from that kid to a really polished pitcher. And I'm just sad that they could never win a Japan series while he was there, and they came really close. But congratulations on a great career.
At his press conference, and somebody asked about the highlight, and he said sweeping the Giants in four games in 2014 so the second place Tigers could go and play in the Japan series was a high point. And I think it was a very disappointing you know, Japan series because, well, the problem with the Japan series is they've got to play the Pacific League team.
Right.
it's kind of a drawback. You know, we're in the Japan series, guys. Well, okay, well, better luck next year. Okay.
Yeah, that does make it tough.
It does indeed. It does indeed. But what I remember from Randy Messenger, a lot of things I can remember, and I think from the one thing that I took away from the press conference, among many things, was I wanted to be out there. I wanted to pass Jane Baki's Tigers record. I wanted to. In fact, he said, "I'm looking." You know, he was going for
Taekwondo. No, I don't know. I think he Kaku Genji because he became
he's
Japanese.
Actually, yeah. Well, technically, he's Kaku Genji. Okay, he's Genji. He's Genji Kaku now because he's become a Japanese citizen, and he's got a ramen shop, I believe, in Nagoya, and so he was the one who has 117 wins by a foreign registered player.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked me on Twitter, says, well, you know, but how about like Victor Starfin or some of these other guys who pitched? Of course, a lot of foreign nationals have pitched in an NPB who have vastly more wins. In fact, the pitcher with the most wins in Japanese baseball history is a Korean, Masaichi Kaneda. But they played amateur ball in Japan, so they were registered as domestic players.
Right, right.
So Kaku Genji is the and Nakaku in Nagoya is where you want to go if you want to go eat at his place.
Yeah, I actually want to.
Have you?
I said I want to. I would like.
Oh, you
to.
Want to? Yeah. Oh, I thought you went to. Okay. So anyway, so he had all these things, but he said, you know, when he didn't expect to be retired. I didn't expect him to be retired. He's a big, strong bulldog of a guy. But we've had in the times that you've interviewed him for this show, because I haven't interviewed him for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talked very. Very Randy-like, very straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
This guy can be great. This guy has all the tools, but he's got to use them. This guy's got to do this. This guy's got to do that. Believe in yourself. Believe in what you can do. And that's a tough thing to do at the Hanshin Tigers. So I hope that people will take what he says to heart. And when I say people, I mean you, Shintaro Fujinami.
Hashtag. Hi.
In particular.
Not that you're listening. Yeah, exactly. Not that you're listening, but that's who I'm talking about. But the point being, Hanshin's not a team where they're going to say, you know, good luck, kid. You know, you can do better. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. That is not the Hanshin Tigers way. The Hanshin Tigers way is the old school Japanese. You made a mistake. I'm going to hit you with a ruler. Hold out your hand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You failed yesterday. Therefore, you're dirt.
Yeah,
but we still love
you,
kinda. Exactly. You are a failure, but you don't have to be.
Now go learn how to be a winner and call us when you get back, when you get that.
Exactly. Exactly. But he was saying, you know, look, trust in your stuff. Do your job. Keep trying to get better, you'll be fine. And that's not the message they get from the team. But Randy was one of the guys who, he didn't talk a lot, and he didn't like to mince words, and he didn't like unnecessary words. But everything was straight from the heart. And he said, look, the thing he was most proud of in Japanese baseball was starting for his team on 6 opening days, 5 in a row. He said, foreign players don't get to do that. He said, most Japanese pitchers don't get to do that.
Yep.
So, yeah, more power to you is all I can think of.
Yeah, 7 seasons with double digits in wins and a career 3.13 ERA and 1,474 strikeouts. Really great career. And, you know, he has provided JBW with some great moments with his interviews for us and given us his time and been very candid. And we love him and we're going to miss him. And I'll definitely be watching his retirement game when they have it this week. Let's move along. One note before we get to the questions. Rakuten skipper Yosuke Hiraishi There was a story out this week that he won't be coming back. Now, that's not really official, but I just thought, you know, a 39-year-old manager whose team didn't have a lot of expectations. He was on a one-year deal coming in, and I think basically he hasn't really heard about what's going on for next year, and looks like they can lock up that third spot and get to the playoffs, and I think that's a big deal. And they'll have a good opportunity to play a weakened Hawks team, so maybe they can get through and get to the second phase of the climax. But just interesting stuff. I know that I contacted you this week about it, and you hadn't heard, and so I'm not really taking these stories seriously as he will be out as manager. I'm just wondering what he needs to do to get that next contract, and I think he'll get it. I can't see
him. I think he will too. The story, the gist of the story was, I'm guessing he mentioned to, or somebody overheard, he mentioned that he had not had any contract negotiations with the team. And this was reported as the Eagles are going to get rid of Hiraishi. But there was a lot of other things going on there. One, they have a new general manager, Kazuhisa Ishii, who does things, who, like it for better or worse, does things his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not certain that he has a way, but...
you better call Frank Sinatra's people or something and find...
Yeah, exactly. He might be able to sing way. My way. Indeed. Yeah. Anyway, so maybe anyway. So... the next day after that story broke, Ishii blasted the press for carelessly reporting that they hadn't had any contract negotiations, and by saying, look, you can't write that. We haven't talked about it yet. And that was such an Ishii comment, you know. Don't write that we haven't talked about it, because we haven't talked about it.
Yeah, there are Yogi Berra-isms, and then there are Ishii-isms. Oh, and I think that one, we're going to keep that one
I'm still amazed that they hired him. Maybe he'll be the next manager. That would be equally... equally mystifying. So the next
stupefying is probably
well. Anyway, this brings me back. This is not the same time, but in 2006, when the Nippon—I've told this story before, so I'll keep it brief. When the Nippon Ham Fighters had a poor record at the start of the season,
mm-hmm.
Trey Hillman's fourth as Fighters manager, he went to Bobby Valentine and he said, well, Bobby, I don't know if I'm going to be here this time next year, because this is my fourth year, and every year in the beginning of May, the team has come to me and talked about next year.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the end of May, and there was no word from the team. Nobody had come up and said, hey, Trey, what do you want to do at the end of the season? So I think I'm going to be fired. And Bobby planted a story with John Heyman. Okay, John, we know it was you. You got played. He planted a story with John Heyman saying the Kansas City Royals were looking at Trey Hillman as a manager,
mm-hmm.
For the following season. And John ran with it as if it was real news. And I asked Bobby about it, and he said, like, you know, he gave me the wink and the nod, and he says, and then 2 years later, I said to Bobby in 2008 when Trey was managing the Royals,
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, that was just a lie. He says, it wasn't a lie. They hired him. Got him hired, didn't it? It wasn't a lie. So... So Trey and I have talked about that one story, and I love that John Heyman got played, which is always fun. It doesn't happen very often, but next time I see him, I'll remind him of that.
If he hasn't, you know, if he's not a listener.
Well, I doubt he is listening, and to be honest, my brief interaction with John Heyman is that he couldn't care less if I think he got played.
Well, there's word of mouth, so maybe he'll listen because somebody told him his name was mentioned. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, this one came in late yesterday. It's from MPP Card Guy, and mm-hmm. It came in, even though he's on Twitter, it came via email, and he says, hope things are well. I've got a quick question. If it's not too late, Given the fighter's late season collapse this year, is there any chance that the manager, Hideki Kuriyama, will be fired? Thanks a lot, Dave. So, well, Jim.
Yeah, there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance, but I'll say this two things about the fighters. One, other than their, whether they just, you know, I guess we could ask if he's had a contract negotiation or not.
Right.
But the other one is the fighters people have told, well, actually the current general manager, Hiroshi Oshimura, told me before he got became the general manager and basically zipped his mouth shut, he told me the fighters are very hard to find managers. It's very hard for the fighters to find managers because they have to work within the system.
Mm-hmm.
They have to basically, they don't have a choice. They do not have final say on the overall roster. They do not have overall say. They do not have final say on who gets drafted.
Mm.
They do not have a say, final say on team policy of fitness and team policy of farm team development. And a lot of managers don't like that because it's not the Japanese way. The Japanese way is that the manager is in charge of everything, if he wants to be. So they said it's hard to find a manager, and Kuriyama works in that system really, really well. So I don't think the fighters want to get rid of him. Having said that, it's always possible. So basically there's a 90% chance the fighters will ask him to stay for next year, 10% chance they'll fire him. But I also think there's a larger chance that he'll say, I've had enough, I need a break.
Mm.
And which I think is about maybe 30% of that total. So maybe the fighters will ask him to stay, and half of those times he'll say, no, I'm out of here.
Okay. Interesting. I just think he's part of the fabric, and they're going to open a new stadium fairly soon. I don't think they're going to change direction. And you said late season collapse, but you know, my take was the fighters weren't very good the entire season. They had some stretches this season where they really played well, but I say they were punching above their weight for a long time. So I don't really see it as a collapse. I just see it as the rest of the league, you know, getting wise to what they were doing and just playing better against them in the second half. So I don't think, and part of that is management decision, not the field manager's decisions, in terms of, you know, using openers and who to, you know, as Jim alluded to, who to play and what young players to get out there and all that stuff. I don't think it had anything to do with him as a manager per se. So why are they going to fire him?
Well, the openers was his. Yeah, well, no, that was his decision to use it. I've been told he's got basically he's allowed that stuff. So anything they do on the field tactically is up to him. That having been said, I did hear my colleague who covers the fighters for Kyoto News told me that the reason that their former pitching coach is the pitching coach for the Lotte Marines this year, Masato Yoshi, is because Kuriyama wanted to use the short starters last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Yoshi said, are you out of your mind? And for the second time, Yoshi quit the fighters because he had enough of Kuriyama.
Right, right. So, yeah, I mean, for me, but I still think it's like he's part of the fabric. I don't think he is separate from the front office in the respect that they don't agree with what he's doing. I think they all work hand in hand together.
I think so. And they're very, the fighters front office is very up to speed.
Right. So I.
And yeah, meaning they're not going to make a rash decision. That's the thing that other teams do.
Yeah. So as long as they don't tell him that he must use the handkerchief prints in, you know, X number of games, I think he's going to stay. But there's a chance mm-hmm. that they're going to say, hey, let's wheel that guy out there. Ticket sales have been dropping.
Hey, that's his job. That's what that was his thing. That's how come Yoshi quit the first time. He says, what are you using this guy for? Come on. He says, oh, no, I know he can play.
All right, guys. Well, we know we can play next week, so we'll be back then.
Thank Don't you. Let John play you, guys.
thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. We expect to talk about and break down the Lions championship run for defending the Pacific League title. I can't even believe I'm saying this. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.